This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Friday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek, and I am in Boynton Beach, Florida this morning.
I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 11th, episode 1932, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse world.
Guess what day it is today? Sunday. No, it's Friday. Friday.
This is what it's all about, gentlemen. It's what we train for.
Happy Friday.
Thank God it's Friday!
Well, good God Almighty, this week's been 2 months long. Lord, I love to hear that Friday 5 o'clock whistle moan. As the moon comes up and the sun goes down, put the juice to my truck.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on this Friday morning. It's weird. I went to hit the play button on the opener, and I'm not at home. Jennifer's doing that. But it was like, I have it. You know, I got to press the button. Yeah. As soon as Jamie's done, you press the button. Well, you know what else they're pressing the play button on? That is the 75th year of the Royal Windsor Horse Show. And that's definitely on our bucket list to see sometime. And it's also the 75th year the Queen has attended the Royal Windsor Horse Show. That's 75 years she's been there every year. It's in her backyard at Windsor Castle, literally in her backyard at Windsor Castle. And it's apparently one of the coolest shows. Everybody that's been there, there's jumping and there's a big carriage competition, which obviously your husband used to compete in for years and years. He started combined driving, basically, in the world. And it really started at Windsor years ago. So David Saunders was there at the very beginning, who's been on our show many times. And it's a 75th year it's going on. It looks like a spectacle, and it looks like something we need to get media passes for.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, excuse me. I'm just coming through, Queen. Excuse me. Is that seat next to you available? Cool. I'm going to brush it off and sit down. Yeah, that's how it would. Yeah, sure. That sounds possible, Glenn. You get us some tickets.
All right, I'll try. I'll try for that. They put on all kinds of special troop shows there, too, like the King's Royal Troop. The Royal House Guard does all of their thing. It just looks really cool. One day. We'll have to try to go to it. I think you probably could get media passes.
Any day. If,
Might be difficult. They probably don't know who we are.
You know what?
Listen.
I don't think the Queen listens, no, but it does sound amazing. And, I got to say, on a side note, I'm just in love with Britain right now, because did you know that the British Horse Society, the BHS, has decided that sanctions on Oliver Townend and his overuse of the whip at badminton horse trials were not high enough, and they're going to be revisiting this and going to punish him themselves.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome?
That's pretty ballsy of them, actually.
Yeah. But they made a press release every day about it, and finally that's just not good enough. Him getting a warning, not even getting a yellow card or anything for, you know, what irritates me is just, it's 6 o'clock on a Friday morning. I'm an event. Alisa Wallace gets yellow carded for riding a tired horse, and he whips his horse all the way through and doesn't get anything. So they are making sure something is done. I'm pretty proud. I'm proud to be British.
Thought you were going to say you were so excited about Britain right now because the royal wedding's coming up.
Oh, that too. I just want to be British right now. Did you know I did one of those DNA test things, you know, where you
for yourself?
Spit in the tube. Yeah, my brother gave it to Chad and I for Christmas. And this whole time, my grandmother is half Cherokee Indian, or that's what we've always been told. And she literally looks like a Cherokee Indian princess if you see pictures of her from when she was younger. So I did the DNA test, and Chad did it, and Chad was told he's 1/32nd Cherokee. So we get our DNA test results back. I am literally only English and Irish. And he's way more Native American than I am. So I am proud to be English and Irish. And what I'm excited about is we're going to talk to one of my Irish friends today on the show. And
one of your kinsfolk.
One of my people. I didn't know. That's why I liked Ireland so much. It's my favorite place because it was my people. I didn't even know I was Irish. Isn't that cool?
You're going to have to work on the Irish accent, though. Yours sucks.
I got nothing. I got nothing. I can't even pretend to have an Irish accent. So, I mean, because I'm so good at the British accent that it's like hard for me to go to both, you know, you get it.
Yeah, I get it. Jennifer, what's coming up?
Coming up on today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition. We have another auditor requested guest coming up today. Allison Conti and Travis Cepaluni are stopping by, and they are with the Harness Horse Youth Foundation. They're going to tell us about all the cool things they do over there. Thanks for this request, Ellen. And then after that, James Tonery. You might remember James Tonery because he is with the Irish folks, Cooper's Hill Equine, where Jamie went fox hunting. And he's going to stop by to talk about a little viral video that's been going around.
We need to share that on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page right now. It's pinned to top on the auditor's page, but you guys have to go see this video before we have him on or before you hear this. It's absolutely so Irish. I can't even think of a way to describe it. So it's a horse rescue. Done in a very Irish way.
It's an Irish horse rescue.
Have the sound off.
Yes, because the F word in Ireland is saying like, you know, like, oh my God, like this, like this, like this. That's the F word substituted in Ireland. So it's not for children.
You can't play the audio on the show.
No. Glenn was like, we'll play it. No, we're not.
I need to beep every 2 seconds. Beep, beep, yeah. Beep, beep.
Yeah, we'll see how he does on the show today because the guy doing the rescue is James and he is the one going to be on the show. So he's the one in the
muck. Jennifer.
Yep. We don't have one, so this should be good.
I'll get ready. I'll just say beep. And then we're doing really bad ads, right? Are we doing really bad ads?
Really bad ads.
Sorry, I cut her off.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we got a lot coming up on today's show. But first, my Daily Whinny. Well, my Daily Whinny goes out to a whole bunch of new auditors this week. We have Patricia Fay, Rebecca Hodgetts, Monica Raymond, and Nicole Vita. Thank you all for joining and becoming auditors. If you have not requested to join the auditor room yet, go to HRN Auditors on Facebook. Just search for that and request to join, and we'll add you into the auditor room. Lots going on. There's about 1,000 conversations going on in there right now. So we're happy to have you, and we thank you for your support. And I know all the hosts get half the money that comes in from the auditors every month. It gets divided up, and it's actually amounting to quite a bit of money now, and we really appreciate that, and I know they do too.
Yeah. No, you do. Sure.
Maybe does.
I forgot to tell you guys this. So I wanted to give my Daily Whinny to my baby mama, Pink. That's right. Last year, we kind of in a hurry had to rebreed Pink. I didn't know that Pink, the baby mama, she was a broodmare lease. This is Zara's mama. She was a broodmare lease, and she was supposed to just be with me for a year until I weaned the baby and then give the baby mama Pink back. Well, Pink's owners decided after I weaned Zara that they did not want her back, so we decided to keep her. And we just thought, oh my gosh, well, we have one chance at it because it was June or July. We have one chance left to breed her. We bred her. She got pregnant. And then that ultrasound, they do an ultrasound right around like 27 to 30 days. And she had lost the foal last year between conception and 30 days. At some point, she had lost it. So earlier this week, we rebred her to Rubignon again because I got such a nice baby. I wanted, and this time it's going to be the black stallion. So I rebred her and we confirmed that she was pregnant, but we had the 27 day ultrasound. And this is where you would see a heartbeat or you wouldn't. And I was fairly nervous because of, you know, she's 18 now and this is something that, you know, it's probably going to be her last attempt at having a foal. And so nervously, you know, I set the appointment. Dr. Hendricks comes out and we have a heartbeat. Yay. So this was the time she lost it last year. So it was so exciting that she's still pregnant. It's about the size of a pinhead now and has a heartbeat.
Yay. Good job. Jamie's going to be a mommy again.
Oh my God, you guys are going to live this with me again. The stress and the drama and the no sleep. Do you guys remember what happened last time?
Yeah, we remember.
It was like sleeping in the barn. And
yeah,
I was
we remember. The drama and the 85 vet visits.
Saying, I am never doing this again, ever. What was I thinking?
But
I said that after my first Mustang, too, going to the auction. So, which, by the way, keep in mind, the new catalog for the next round of Northern Nevada Correctional Center Mustangs is out.
And that's there where you are got some, two of yours, right?
Yes, I got Thor and Zeus, both from the Carson City Prison up in Nevada. And I'll post the new catalog on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. It is already posted on Thor and Zeus's Facebook page. Just search for Thor the Mustang and Zeus the Mustang. They have their own page, so it's on there already.
Yeah, this is an auction, and when we first started following this auction years ago, the prices have gone up significantly because I just think there's more interest in getting a Mustang that's already had some training.
They came back down. The prices have come back down, yes, dramatically. You know, the prices, like when I got Thor, the average was $800 to $1,000, and I paid $900 for Thor. And so when Zeus's auction came around, that was the highest ever, and nothing went for under $5,000 except for Zeus, who was a total a-hole during his little like auction time. So he was actually quite affordable, still over my budget, but still more affordable than the others because he was such a jerk, which I liked. So then this past auction, the past couple, we're talking like some of them have been going for $250.
Really?
Wow. So I think it's just like a cyclical thing. You know, they go up and then they come back down. And so these last couple have been fairly cheap. So I would say now's the time if you're going to go. This is a good one. And there's some really nice ones. Oh, there's a black one that I need him.
I noticed they're floating a new proposal. You know, obviously constantly talking about the Mustang thing and all of them holding and, you know, all the plans either, you know, and some of them very controversial. But one of the plans now that they're talking about is offering $1,000 bonus to anybody. Instead of charging people for Mustangs, is offering $1,000 bonus to anybody that adopts one.
What?
Yeah, that's one of the options that they're floating. Obviously, you know, the traditional options of making all of them sterile and doing all that stuff. And then, you know, the ones that we don't even want to talk about. But then one of the options is offering a bonus, a reward if you adopt one. Because they're figuring if they offer $1,000 reward, that's cheaper than taking care of them for long term and holding anyway.
Well, how is that? There's got to be sanctions and rules because how is some a-hole not going to be like, I'll take 10 and then just run them down.
I know. Let's hope they're looking at that also. So I did something yesterday I've never done before, Jamie.
Uh-oh. Yeah. What are you doing? Where the heck are you?
We're doing our next episode of Finding Florida. And this time we're in Fort Lauderdale. And it's a little different this time because Fort Lauderdale is trying to get rid of the impression that all they are is a college party town during spring break. Because that's, you know, we think Fort Lauderdale, my age thinks that, right?
See, growing up in Atlanta, Destin and Panama City were the places that was a retirement center.
Yeah, but Fort Lauderdale is real big for the college kids to descend.
Okay.
It's one of the first places. They're trying to get rid of that, so they're building all these high-end hotels and really high-end places. And so the Tourist Bureau here wanted us to really focus on the fancy side of Fort Lauderdale. So they had us on three fancy hotels yesterday. The first one, I made my first visit to a real spa. Jem and I went to the spa. And,
this is a hard job for you. I'm so sad.
Have you ever been to a real spa, really?
Yes. And that's why I'm saying you poor thing. I mean, that had to be really hard.
I had my first pedicure, believe it or not. It was weird.
Did you tip that lady $1 million?
It was weird. It was very strange. But they're really saying they're getting more men in now to the spa. So,
oh, that pretty place by me, there's a half men, half women. Go ahead.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I would have never thought to do that, like, ever.
Because you're not metrosexual.
I guess. I guess. I'm proud of that, to be honest. So anyway, this will be an interesting episode coming out because Jimmy and I are not really fancy. So this has been, it's been an experience and we got a lot more coming. So
did you record your voice getting the pedicure?
Yes, I did. And
did you giggle the whole time?
Yes. It was. It was interesting. It was interesting.
You've never had a pedicure?
Ever. No.
Did you get a design painted on your big nail or did you
No, I would not let them paint my nails. Although Demi thought that would be a wonderful idea.
Yeah.
I was not letting that happen. All right. Let's go to our first guests who are really embarrassed to be here now. Wendy and I over on the Driving Radio Show have talked to the people from this organization a couple times, and it's really a cool thing. We talk about all the time on this show about getting more kids involved in whatever association, whatever discipline, that we need more kids involved and we need them really interested in to make the future of our sports, our horse sports, viable. And one of those sports is harness racing. And we talked about harness racing here on the show and we cover it some. And of course, I'm a driver, so you know I love driving horses, and I've never driven a harness horse on a track, and that's one of my goals one day. But we have the people are here today from the Harness Horse Youth Foundation, and I think we have Allison on here. Allison is a trustee of the foundation, and she's joining us this morning. Hi, Allison. Oop. Let's see if we do have Allison on here. Jennifer, if you could put Allison on, that would be great, because I can't. Let's see. I think we're... I'm going to try and get... Allison, are you there?
You have me now.
Ah, yay!
I'm here.
Okay, good. Sorry about that. We're all in different locations today than we usually are. So, we've talked to you guys a couple times, and I love what you're doing, but kind of explain to everybody else what you're doing.
Okay, so at its very core, the point of the Harness Horse Youth Foundation is to educate youth and their families about harness racing. For me, it's near and dear to my heart. I grew up in harness racing, but also riding hunter jumper when I was younger, and just always horses were a big part of my life. So I think for me, the most important thing about the foundation and the work that we do is that really twofold benefit of, you know, any sport or industry, whether it's horse related or not, always benefits from an influx of youth and just the creativity, the excitement, the inspiration. But also I think that, as a horse person, I think that youth really can benefit from that relationship with horses. They're therapeutic. They're wonderful to be around. They teach responsibility. It's just, for me, we offer a really fantastic experience, which is why I am proud and thankful to be on this board.
What kind of activities do you do? What kind of things do you do to get, and then we're going to introduce your other guest here shortly, but what do they get to do?
So we run, and Travis can speak a little bit more to the experience, but I can definitely tell you what we do. We run a series of summer camps throughout usually June and July. It's sort of a traveling road show. We try to go a little bit of everywhere, spread it out a couple of different years. They're different lengths, 3 and 5 day. And just get the kids in the barn doing the work with the horses, teaching them the right ways to do things, introducing them not just to the actual work with the horses, but to all different kinds of careers within the harness racing and horse industry. We also have a couple of scholarship programs. Recently this year, there was a youth delegate committee created that will work in function with the United States Trotting Association, which is the larger breed registry and organizing body for harness racing as a whole. That the youth group is actually going to be able to work directly with the directors from that organization to really learn the ins and outs of the industry and what goes into the regulatory end of it. And, you know, and other than that, we provide a lot of educational materials to 4-H groups and schools and try to do a lot of outreach that way. Trying to promote horses and harness racing and our wonderful horses and the programs that we do to kids everywhere, because not all of us are privileged like I was to grow up with horses so readily available. So we just really try to make that experience more accessible.
Why don't you introduce your guest too? Because we have one of the graduates here.
Yes, Travis. We love Travis.
Travis, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. So now, Travis, when did you start playing around with the harness horses and with the foundation?
I started in 2011, I think it was. I was 12 years old, so I just got to begin, and I went to my first camp at Gateway Farm in New Jersey, because I'm from New Jersey, and that was the closest camp for me.
And what'd you get to do at your first camp?
Well, the first camp, I was very excited to go, because I found out about it through reading a program, actually, because I didn't really have any family involved in the business. I was more of like a fan of the racetrack, and I was there every week, and I saw in the program an ad for the Youth Foundation, and I just had to go. And I showed up to camp, and the first day we got to, you know, it was really hands-on. We got to touch a horse, jog a horse, do everything. It wasn't like, you know, there was nothing holding us back. They let us do what really goes on in the business, and we really learned a lot. And like you said before, you were wishing to jog a horse one day, and we got to do that. And at the end of the week, we even got to go behind the gate with the horses and go a mile with them in a race, an exhibition race there.
Oh, did you? Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, we did. That's so exciting. It's the best feeling in the world.
Did you win?
Did you win?
No, I didn't. I think I was second not by much, but I was second.
Way to go.
I was second.
It's scary. Those thoroughbreds, they go fast. They really fly.
They sure do. You don't realize it until you're sitting behind them.
I bet.
Let me tell
you
something.
That's the fun part.
I've been training a pony to drive, and I'm scared to death when she walks. Y'all crazy.
It is. They go fast. What is it, like 35 miles an hour or something? They're flying along. It's crazy.
Right. That's what the big guys go. But the Youth Foundation, I don't know if you guys know, but they have a smaller version because, you know, it's a little bit better for the younger people because, you know, the big horse would probably intimidate them a little bit. We have a smaller breed of horse, which is a trotting bred, and they're, you know, they're a little bit smaller, but they still can, they go pretty good. They go pretty fast.
And you're sitting, I mean, you know, you're sitting in the, what do they call the little carts?
That's called the jog cart. And then there's another cart, which is called the race bike, which they use when they race. But at the Youth Foundation, they didn't use those because you got to have an assistant with you when you go.
Yeah, that looks uncomfortable, by the way they race and sit and those things, it just doesn't look comfortable.
Yeah.
I'll take my carriage, nice comfy carriage with the cushy seats, and I'll take that any day. But I would love to try that someday. I would just think that would be so much fun going around the track. All right, now, are you...
Yeah, you'll have to swing by the camp.
How old are you now, Travis?
I am 19 now.
Are you going to get into harness racing or in horses in any way? What are you going to end up doing?
I really hope so. Actually, right now, because of the Harness Horse Youth Foundation, they really, I think if it wasn't for them, I would have never got the connections that I did. I've met a lot of people in the business. They kind of opened the door for me to get into harness racing because, like I said before, I have no family in it, and it's just kind of, it's really hard to get into the racing business when you have nobody helping you.
Right.
But the Youth Foundation, they really treated me as family, and just, they took me in and helped me out and introduced me to people. And I actually work at a racetrack right now because they, you know, they helped me out meeting a few people and those connections. I got a job working
at Freehold
Raceway.
Where are you working and what are you doing?
I'm working at Freehold Raceway in the race office there right now. You know, in the race office, you just kind of, it sounds simple, but it's really actually very complicated, like putting the races together and classifying horses, putting them where they belong. I learned a lot sitting in that office, a real lot.
I bet. That's a cool job, though, to get first,
right?
Because you really do understand the operation side of everything. So that's really
right. Cool. Absolutely.
I'm
seeing more of the business side of it now.
Yeah.
Can I just say, where the heck was this summer camp when I was a kid? Oh, my gosh. I would have killed to do something like this.
I know. Allison, one of the things that we've discovered over the years with talking about harness racing and having the harness racing people on, and we've had a lot of thoroughbred people on too on the thoroughbred side, it seems like the harness racing is more of kind of a family operation. There are more families involved in it and more generational families involved in it than we see on the thoroughbred side. Is that true?
Absolutely. I agree.
Absolutely true. Yeah. I'm actually third generation. And I will just, let me just say this. Travis is very modest, but he's a really great example of just being able to do so many different things. He's also worked with some really great trainers in New Jersey with racehorses, and now getting the behind the scenes aspect at Freehold Raceway and seeing what goes into the business. There's a lot of opportunities that people don't understand. And Travis also does a great job promoting Freehold Raceway on social media channels as well. So there's a lot of opportunities there for sure.
Well, Allison, now if we got a parents listening right now or kids listening that say, wow, that'd be fun to do as a camp. I know that a lot of camps are very expensive, and I happen to know that yours are not, and you really are encouraging people to come out and to try it. And you don't even have to be horsey, right? You could have never touched a horse in your life and do this camp.
Absolutely not. Quite a few. That's a misconception even within harness racing, because we are such a family business and generation and generation, but most of our camp attendees every year, a lot of them never have touched a horse. Some of them come from riding horses where, you know, they wanted to try something different, but you can come in completely cold. And I guarantee you by the end of the 3 or 5 days, you're going to be really, really comfortable with those animals and also feel like you've just had a life-changing experience. I don't think I've ever been to a camp where you don't just see, you know, every kid that's there, their face lights up.
Now, so where do people find out about it? You know, how do they get involved?
Absolutely. Our website is hhyf.org. Nice and easy to remember. You can also follow HHYF on Facebook, and we post about the camps and stuff. Right now, the deadline for camp applications is May 15th, and like you said earlier, our camps are inexpensive. We really just, we're a nonprofit, so we're not making money off of these camps. We do not want to turn any attendees away because we think that this is such an enriching program for the kids. And currently our schedule is up. The deadline is May 15th for applications. And we have a three night, and a couple of day camps this summer. So it's sort of an option for everybody.
Well, I got to tell you, Jamie, my co-host, is this big event rider, and now she's training this pony to drive, and she's scared to death. So is she too old to go to the camp and learn how to drive and not be terrified?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I do think we have an age limit. We have had some kids age out, but they come back as interns all the time. And we would be more than happy to have you as a guest at any point, and we can definitely
good.
Help with that.
She needs to get rid of this fear of driving.
Though. It's terrifying.
Well, I understand, because my first experience was on top of a horse, and then when I started hanging out with my dad a little bit more and getting behind them, you feel like you have less control, but you'll get used to it.
I'll get used to being completely out of control.
That's
no
right.
No problem.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, what you guys do is amazing. I just think it's awesome. And I'm so talking to a 19-year-old who is so put together and so driven and so organized is very inspirational, Travis, to hear you. And Allison, what you guys are doing to cultivate the youth is just fantastic. And I'm really excited to be a supporter of your organization.
Oh, thank you guys so much. We are so
happy
to be on this morning.
HHYF.org is where you can find it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for having us.
All right. Take care. Okay, not too many 19-year-olds that are as well-spoken as he is.
I know like 15 girls that are teenagers who would kill to meet Travis, okay?
And, you know, that's a cool job, actually, to get as your first job at a track, because you really learn how the whole thing operates
you
when you're doing
understand.
The job he's doing. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the most confusing part of racing to me, is like what race and who and how and what. And that would be the hard part about being a trainer, is trying to figure out who goes in what and who qualifies for what. He's going to have the back door of that all figured out. How cool. We're going to see that guy. We're going to be reading stories about him. Travis Cepelluni.
And it is true. Every harness person that we have had on comes from a long family of harness people, and they're all just super nice. And we've been following this program for years, and the fact that they get to go out and actually do a race on a racetrack is kind of cool.
Okay, it's like every harness driver is Canadian. Okay, sure. They must be.
There you go.
Most of them are, but yeah, they're all nice.
They're all nice. Well, Jennifer, can we hear from Kentucky Performance Products? If not, we can talk about them.
We can when I run to the other studio.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll chat for a minute until Jennifer. Poor Jennifer. She's having to cover both sides of the thing while I'm out playing this weekend.
Oh, but you're working hard going to the spa and getting.
I did. You know, it was kind of nerve-wracking because I'd never been to one before. And it was they do a lot of weird things at spas now.
Have you seen Dumb and Dumber?
Yes. And that
I
scene,
envision
yes.
that pedicure scene as
actually
being
they brought that up.
Did they?
Yes. They brought that up.
Get the belt sander.
Demi had this eye treatment where they basically sucked her eyeballs out, as best I could tell over there. And then gave her a face massage, which looked very relaxing, actually. And then we were along Fort Lauderdale Beach is beautiful, and we were literally right on the beach all day yesterday doing hotels. And then we go to the next hotel, and they have this whole spread. They have made this lunch for us and give us a tour. And then we go meet the next hotel, which, what was the third hotel? The Ritz-Carlton. We meet a celebrity chef who has actually done TV shows and all kinds of stuff and spent some time with her. She was a trip. So it was a lot of fun.
What are you guys doing today?
Today we are going to do like a museum, and then we're doing a boat ride tonight down Millionaire's Row to a show and dinner, and they really are putting us up this weekend. It's a lot of fun. We're doing a river boat, a paddle boat. Yep. So should be a lot of fun. All right, Jennifer, are we ready?
We are ready.
It does feel that way sometimes.
Her life was falling apart around her. But when she saw his sweet face and heard the low knicker, the pain eased. She stood in the stall for some time, running a brush over his sleek coat, down his powerful muscles and over his tight, cool tendons. He cocked his back leg, waiting patiently. She scratched his favorite spot and was rewarded with a crinkled smile and outstretched neck. The stress flowed from her body, and she knew with him in her life, she would make it through. This love story is brought to you by Endure Extra, providing high-fat calories, direct-fed microbials, and natural vitamin E to support optimal condition and performance. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Call 859-873-2974 or visit kppusa.com to order today.
There's like four on the call, conference call.
You're on.
I'm on.
Hello, James. How are you?
Hey, Jamie. How are you?
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, I want to kind of reintroduce you. You are from Cooper's Hill Equine out in Ireland, and you are the one responsible for putting me on the best turned out horse in Galway to go fox hunting in one of the most incredible experiences of my entire life. So thank you so much.
It was the almost greatest experience. The next one will be the greatest.
Okay. Sounds good. I did hear that my dear horse Paddington has been retired.
He has. He's had enough. He doesn't want to do it anymore.
See, he had to finish on a good note. That was me. And then he was like,
Absolutely.
Okay,
it's
I'm
when
done.
He finished. Maybe you broke him.
Oh, nice.
I don't think so. It was time.
Well, James, I saw a video that Sierra, who works with you at Cooper's Hill Equine, posted, and I thought, well, this is crazy. There's some horse in some muck, and some crazy Irish dude jumps in the muck to get this horse out, and turns out that crazy Irish dude was you.
That's right. Yeah, Kirib did post that video, all right. It was of a really nice cob. We've got Joey, who's actually back to full health, and he did a trek this morning and all for some people from the Netherlands, I think. And basically what had happened was he went for a drink, and because we've had such bad weather, the banks slipped away and he fell in. And because the banks were so moist and soft, and it is moist and soft ground there, there was no way out. He was going to die.
Okay.
So that was the alarm.
So tell us a little bit about Joey. He said he's a cob.
Joey's one of those Irish cobs. He is the horse that will suit everybody in the family, from dad to four-year-old child.
Okay.
He can jump. He can hunt. He, with loads of video, doing all those things. He can show jump, cross country, and hunt. So he's very versatile. And in the days gone by, they used to have the same horse under a buggy when they didn't have cars, and they'd buggy them into church on a Sunday, and then on the Sunday afternoon they might go out hunting or something, you know?
Unbelievable. Yeah, so these horses kind of do it all. And so how did you guys find him? What was the backstory there?
The backdrop to the whole thing was we had a few gals that come up for a ride, and I said, look, grab some of the easy horses like Joey and so on and so forth, and we'll all go for a ride. And then they came back from the field, and I was actually doing something, and one of the kids was kind of alarmed. That was Emma. And she said, and I kind of hushed her away because I was busy, and I said, so what was wrong, Emma? Can't find Joey. Oh, God, he's got to be down there. I said, he has to be down there somewhere. Maybe he's lying down in the grass. And that was the backdrop to the whole thing. When they went down again, I got a quick and immediate call. He's in the river. I said, what? No. He's in the river. We never had this before.
Never.
Never ever. So I said, I was like perplexed. So I said, if he's in the river, I better bring some clothes to change into and get organized for deep sea diving or something, you know? Yeah. I didn't have a snorkel, unfortunately. Could have done with one, but it was so muddy and silty, there was no way of using one. And down I went, jumped in, and saw what the situation was. Basically, it was quicksand all over. And once you got past the water, it was just bottomless. So his only effort was to try and scoop his body up out of the water to try and get to the bank. And once he got to the bank, then it was just liquefied. It wouldn't support weight.
So what would happen in America is somebody would dial 911 and some police and fire crews would come out, and there'd be like a whole thing around this horse. They'd have helicopters. What did you do to try to save Joey? Who'd you call?
That thought had passed my mind. I even know the people that are in the fire department. They actually wouldn't have they wouldn't have as much experience as I would have had with horses. They would have been more alarmed and caused. It wouldn't have been as beneficial to have them there.
Right.
And even if I asked for their machinery, it would not be able to go on the surface, the land next to the river. It would have been too heavy. So there was no point.
So wet.
Yeah. So I said, we'll pull him out. How heavy could he be? And I'm a former rugby player, and I said, yeah, I'll pull him out. He's quite heavy. I couldn't pull him out. So we
you discovered horses are heavy, did you?
Just a little bit. Just a little bit, yeah. Now, listen to me, guys. I would lift him out if I had something to stand on to get underneath him. He would have come out. I am a former rugby player, and he would have got it. But when I stood to give him a push, I went straight down, up to my knees in muck, like silt.
Oh, my gosh.
So there was no way to push off. So that was the issue, really. There was no way for the horse to push off, and there was no way for me to push off onto the horse to assist him in his push off.
Okay, so I think my favorite part of the video is when you guys finally, you know, he's kind of on the far side. You got to get him to the near side of the bank, and you're like shoving him over, and he's like leaping over, and he gets all the way to the near side of the bank where you guys realize he can't get up. There's no way for him to get out of here. And Joey's response is to start grazing.
Well, Joey is very special. He's probably one of the most special horses we have. He never panics. He figures stuff out himself, and he just gets it done. And
apparently he's like a teenage boy. He's hungry all the time.
Well, yeah, but he also knew that we were going to help him because we always have been there for him. And when a horse knows that, they don't panic. They know something will happen or something will be figured out. Like, we're never going to let him down. He knew that. And the horses, once they know that, they'll just settle in and they'll work with you. But he also knew that he was screwed and he needed me.
Yeah.
So he wasn't going to go against me.
There was nowhere he could go.
Yeah, well, there's a snack here. I might as well have that while I wait. And that's what he did. For the kids, though, it was terrifying because they were screaming with all their intent and they knew the seriousness of it. I knew the seriousness of it. But there was no point in alarming anybody. You know, I believe in my own abilities to get them out. And, you know, I'm a pretty good horseman. So I would have figured something out, but I had to scratch heads with Kira and try and come up with a piece of machinery that she could drive while I had straps on and guide his legs so they wouldn't get broken or anything. And she drove the dumper, Kira, and I just basically gave her some direction and we pulled on him and pulled on him and pulled on him until he got up. But each time he would get up, the dumper needed to go back just a little bit further and a strap would come off and then he'd slide backwards and I'm like, oh, crap. So that was the tricky part, trying to get them fully up without straps slipping off, you know, because you can't put a constantly tightening strap on them. It'll cut them in half, kill them.
Oh,
so it has to be a strap that can break away.
You guys were so cool about it. Like you said, you knew the seriousness of it, but you guys, the attitude was to not panic. I think Kira was videoing and laughing, you could tell that you were just trying to keep the attitude light.
It was, and you
did get him out and he is fine now. And it was a very exciting video to watch. But I have heard that you have a lot of experience rescuing animals from muck.
Oh, well, let me give you a little bit of more insight into the whole situation. After he was out, the delight hit everybody. All of a sudden, there was an awful lot of tears. And he was stumbling across the field because he was so weakened by the whole experience. So we decided, you know, the best thing to do, put him back with his buddies. So the first horse that got to him was Midnight, who's our champion horse at the barn, who keeps everyone on the straight and narrow. He started giving out to him and pawing and snapping at him, saying, what are you doing this for sort of thing, Joey, and having us all upset. And then Joey went back to grazing. And in the evening, we said, look, I'll go give him some carrots. Guess what?
No.
Guess what, guys? Yeah.
No.
Guess what, guys?
Are you serious?
I
he was
had
back
to go
in?
Swimming for the second time. This time I had no help. I had no help, only Kira. I had to call one of my very good yard hands, Paul Bleach. I said, Paul, get your butt down here. He's in the water. What do you mean he's in the water? So I took a picture and he was down in seconds. Back in the water. But this time it was even worse. It was soggier, muckier and worse. But thankfully, we didn't stress out as per normal. Got him back up the river 40, 50 yards to a place where we could pull him out. We then pulled him out because the bank where he went in this time was 6 foot high and there was no way getting him up. So we had to walk him back.
We have him locked up in a stall now. Something.
No, we don't actually. We put him in a field with very high walls and no access to water.
Good.
So that was the evening swimming around 6 p.m. till about 8 p.m.
Oh my gosh, oh, Joey!
It was an extremely hot day, Joey. Yeah, but yeah, I have rescued a few different creatures. One of the most interesting rescues for me, just tactically, as in the touch of an animal, was a dolphin in a place called Auchinish, which is, funnily enough, the Irish translation of it to English would mean the island of the horse from the old Irish language. But just there by that island, on a causeway, I saw a beached dolphin. I forget the type name, bottlenose dolphin, I think it might be called. And its offspring was right next to it, still alive, it looked like. And there was a fisherman only 40 yards away, but he thought everyone was dead. And it was a long struggle to drag the dolphin till the water was about 60 yards. And then the water wasn't deep enough to float its body, so I had to go another 10 or 12 yards. And then there was two other of a pod just offshore, but I was worried that it would never see the pod, and it kept turning back in to go to its ma. So I put it in seaweed, knowing that it would trash and probably get disoriented, and I headed out to sea then, and then eventually met up with the pod. And not far from that area then, we had a very bad storm. We had a very bad winter, and I found a bird on the road that was about to be killed by a car, which I blocked the road with my truck, and jumped out of the truck and ran down and tried to grab this wild bird, which is snapping and biting. It's called a guillemot, which is a body like a duck, which is real heavy. Fairly small wings, and its feet basically can prop it up so that it can use its wings to fly on land. It's a seafaring bird only. So I grabbed that, and I didn't know what to do. I called veterinarians, I got the bird sanctuary, I called everyone to try and figure out what to do. But basically, the whole point of it was, don't put them on land. Wait till nightfall so he isn't seen by other birds or prey. Put him out in the ocean again. So there's another job for me. I had to wait till dark. Put him out in the ocean, up to my knees in water, in a storm. And nobody else would come outside with me. And the wind beating on me. And I had to actually walk backwards because the wind and rain was so hard on my body to put him in the ocean. And if I left him any longer, he probably would have had so much shock in his system, he would have died. But we never saw him the next day. I assume he's fine. And I hope the dolphin is fine too. But we definitely know Joey's fine. And he's been out eating grass since.
Nobody ever calls. They never write. They don't send thank you notes.
Never.
Unbelievable.
It's, it's amazing how many creatures get into trouble. And it's also just as amazing how many people will help. But if you even try, just use the basic sense, like an animal needs your comfort. Get to it and just comfort it. Don't panic. That'll put the animal in a good place. And then eventually you'll figure out, just use your brain, settle down, use your brain, figure a way and get it done. That's basically it. Like, that's how you get it done.
With the
guillemot, I had to run with a jacket and land the jacket just in the right time on him so that he wouldn't panic or run under the truck or something, and then gather him up. And then I put him in the truck to keep him quiet under the blanket. With the dolphin, I couldn't believe how heavy it was. I absolutely couldn't
believe it. They're like 700 pounds.
Well, this one weighed about 120 because it was a baby, 150 at most. And its actual dorsal fin, the fluke, it was quite stiff, like really hard. And it has, I was backing up into the sea, it would flick and he would knock me. And I'd go again and flick and I would go, I'd be knocked over again. And then eventually I'd, get him out close enough to water, but he kept trying to go back to his mom, the poor thing. His mom was dead. Yeah. The research laboratory came and took her away to find out what the issue was. I never ever did hear what happened, but.
Another one that never wrote back to him.
See, nobody ever calls or writes back.
No, that's for sure.
Did you have this problem when you're dating years too? You just never heard from him again. Is that a problem?
Well, I rescued a few. I just tell you that much, Glenn. Bad idea, Glenn. That's why I'm still single, Glenn. Don't do it.
Anyway. I'm like, okay, I'll leave it go.
But that's the life in the farm. You never know what you come across. I mean, some mornings you'll see a horse with the flu, and some mornings you'll see a horse lying down. What do you do? Do your best, and that's what we did.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Cooper's Hill. What do you guys have coming up? I know Kara said that you guys had a very busy winter. What is spring and summer for you guys?
Pretty much now you need to book like a month in advance because like for today we had a group of 10 from, I think it was Germany, some part of Bavaria. And their thing is to do something they had never done and to be outside their comfort zone. And I had to have horses for 10 people that would take care of them riding through the burn, which is it's a beautiful landscape area. So we're doing that stuff. And that's really something awesome to do. And every one of the people that came off the horses were delighted with what they had done. And they loved the horses because they were so kind to them. And it was basically a walk for about 5 miles or a bit more and brought them to a lovely scenic area. And afterwards they went to have a lunch by the seaside. The other things we're doing, like we had a professional trainer yesterday from Louisville, Kentucky. Well, that's where we know her from. And she's training kids in English, but she hasn't done a lot of jumping. I think we put up a video last night of her jumping a meter 20. She hadn't done that in probably forever, or maybe never did it. And that was one of the excursions we did on the behest of Jean Mutreau from the Bridal Spur Hunt Club in Louisville, Kentucky, because she said, get her done, give her a nice experience, and we did. And next week we have a college, Alfred University, where are they from again? You guys probably know over there, Alfred University or an equine college. And they're coming to ride with us next weekend. I think it's 14 students. And they're also going to the burn, and there'll be a lot of galloping there, I'm sure, and salt in your teeth and sand in your eyes and, you know, yourself, seaweed, everywhere else.
I think that's in New York, actually, Alfred.
Alfred, yeah, I think it might be, yeah. So they're coming, and they've been on to us about 3 months now and planning it. And afterwards, we're gonna get them down to the burn and probably the Cliffs of Moher and maybe a chocolate factory on the way or something like that, you know, because they are students after all, and students love their chocolate.
But just does show what Cooper Hill really does cater to whatever you want to do. I mean,
yeah,
you guys
do,
will put
absolutely.
It together, right?
Yeah. For example, last year we had people over from the States, and one lady wanted to drive a carriage, and we had her drive around Galway City. We asked the carriage driver, who we know personally, would you like to let this lady drive? And she did. We also have a friend that does plowing competitions. So if you want to see plow horses working, or even take the reins for 10 minutes, or a cart horse, that the old ways, you know, we can arrange all that. Everything from a seaside ride to a hunt to show jumping to cross country, hunt clinics, anything that's, we haven't done the jousting yet, guys. I haven't had sticks strong enough yet to knock me off, so thank you.
I'm watching some of the videos on your Cooper's Hill Equine page, and I'm looking at the people out cross-country schooling, and it almost looks like it doesn't matter what the riders do. These horses are going to get to the base of the fence and jump it with or without the rider.
That's what the lady who's the American trainer, she said. They're over-schooled in America in the sense that they check the horse, hold the horse, find the right position, get it to the right position. Is it in the right position? Am I in the right position? Oh, Christ. Show me my picture. Did I look right? We don't give a monkeys. If you get, you know what we're talking about, Jimmy. If you get through a day jumping what we jump and you land on the other side and you have all your fingers and toes and you can still smile, that's all you need. And it doesn't matter.
Hospital visit, it's a good day.
Oh, man. You know what, though? Just so you know, Glenn, hospital food over here is lovely. So it's not a bad thing, really, if you do go there.
Well, Jennifer and I are thinking about coming to Scotland and Ireland next year. And I don't ride. She rides. She does hunters and she hunts. But I do carriages. So I didn't know that you could fix us both up, actually.
Yeah, I'll definitely be able to get something sorted out for you. But if you do want to ride, Glenn, there's a horse for everybody. And we have that horse. If you just want to ride in a scenic area, we have that horse.
You mean I have to jump the 5 foot brush?
No. That wouldn't be advisable, but we could
They have a haunted right. ride you can go on too, haunted which castle. Looks so amazing. Haunted castle.
It is, yeah. Well, the nice thing about that is it's right almost in the city, and it's the hinterland of the city, really. And what happens is we go down to see how farming is done, even currently, you know, with little calves, sheep, you come across ponies, and a mix of all sorts of different little pads where people would have, you know, all sorts of agricultural animals, from goats, sheep, cows, calves, horses, ponies, and then on through a protected area, a bogland. It's protected by the EU basically because of its very unique species of bugs and this and that, you know, sort of like the Amazon Irish style. In that region, and then we go right through that, which is a flat expanse, and then we come onto a city street, and not very far on the city street, we take a left, and if we're very lucky, the doors are open of the castle, which is haunted, and there's one room that when you go into it, you're very uneasy. But thankfully, just on the other side of that room, there's a bar, and the uneasy goes away when you drink your 7-Up. No, I wouldn't be in favor of you all drinking that stuff that makes you silly. But anyway,
right.
You know what I mean. Right. But basically, you can go in and have a little soft drink or tea or maybe even something harder if it's cold outside.
Very good.
Man.
What a cool job you've got.
It's so fun. You guys, put it on your bucket list. Go to Ireland and go ride with Cooper's Hill Equine. Actually, James, my brother just bought U2 concert tickets in Belfast, and he wants me to go in October. So we may pop back over to Northern Ireland coming up soon.
If you do come, bring your waders, okay?
Okay. Help you get Joey out of the muck.
Well, hope not. Right. Never again. Guys, it's been awesome.
Thanks,
but
James.
Anyways, the main thing is just jump on, grab it, send us an email, coopershillequine@gmail.com. We'll do the rest. We'll even organize the hotel for you. We'll tell you what scenic attractions to see that are nearby, and it's time efficient, and where to eat. So you don't have to worry. Just send us an email and we'll do the rest.
Thanks, James. Thank you very much. Cooper's Hill Equine. Jamie. We appreciate you being on. Good luck. Good luck with Joey. Yeah.
Glenn, don't worry. We got a cart horse for you too. So
all right,
you
good.
Can get the reins at the end of that. Okay.
All right. Good. Sounds good. Thanks.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for calling.
Right. Bye.
Yeah, I didn't know he could do that part. Sounds like he'll do anything. Basically, it's a custom vacation.
It's epic. It's epic. I mean, you guys saw the horse that I got to ride in pictures, and I'm like jumping traffic barriers. It's unbelievable. I think you just called James back. I hear the music again. There we go. It sounded kind of nice to talk to somebody with like music underneath.
I know.
Nice. It sounded very fancy.
Sound like he was in a fancy restaurant or something.
Yeah.
And we know James, that probably wasn't the case, but
yeah.
Out there in his waders. Well, very cool. And I'm glad he managed to save Joey twice.
Twice.
Twice. Well, it is that time, Jennifer.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
What is that time of the week when we do some really bad ads? These are ads that are submitted by our listeners, usually off of Craigslist or Facebook. They find them and we just have a little bit of fun with them. And we put everybody's name in a hat that submits an ad, whether they're read or not. And at the end of the month, we pick to win a prize. We'll announce what that is next week. I'm on the road and didn't have a chance to put that together, so we'll do it next week. But if you read your own ad, like hit the record button on your phone and then you send us the sound file, you get two entries in to win the prizes. And we've had a couple of people doing that this time, and Tammy is one of them.
Hi, this is Tammy in Kansas, and this ad caught my eye because this particular person was trying to sell a friendly mini stallion the other day. So here we go. Long story, y'all, but I need your advice. We recently were gifted a group of wonderful animals. We felt very blessed. Then the mini stallion was being very aggressive to my beloved mini donk Jenny, and that was a no-go for me. Additionally, we have his filly on site now as well, and we were worried about inbreeding. The previous vet said he'd never, quote-unquote, dropped, but since we have his month-old filly, we know that he can get the job done and don't want him to attempt to breed his own daughter, inbreeding and all, but don't have the ability right now to fence additional acreage to allow for keeping them separately. We deliberated and decided the best course was to rehome him. It gave me massive anxiety and a tummy ache, but I listed him. Last night, I got some new information from a couple of very knowledgeable ladies. They said that he was going after my mini Jenny because she was bred and had a biological imperative to force her to miscarry so that she would come open again and then he could breed her. Now that we understand what was really going on, we think we just might geld him, and that will be the right answer to all her problems. So we're very encouraged and happy to keep him with us permanently. So my question to you all is, what's the likelihood of getting those belly balls out, and what do you think it should cost us? I'm not above vet shopping to get the most reasonable fee possible. To those of you that read all this way to the end and offer advice, thanks so much. Happy face.
Her accent is terrific.
Oh my gosh. God.
Did not go where you thought it would, did it?
How on earth do you get them belly balls out?
It was her accent, that kind of high-class Southern accent. It really did that.
I couldn't even laugh because my jaw was on the ground through that whole entire thing. Oh, my God. Tammy needs to be on this show more.
That was hilarious.
That was unbelievable. I'm like, what is she talking about? What?
More plot twists than a Lifetime movie.
So is it for sale? Is it not for sale? Is the Ginny for sale? And who the hell is telling her what? I am more confused now than I was when I woke up this morning.
Tammy, we strongly encourage you to send in self-read ads anytime you want.
She's in Kansas.
Her Southern accent was better than yours, and you grew up there.
She sounds so sweet.
I know.
Problem is, mine's a little red. Hers is like gentle. Mine's
you're
country.
More redneck.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Amanda sent in the next one. We should have ended on Tammy's.
I know. You want to just end? Let's go.
Yeah. Let's go home.
Play hers again. And
free two potbelly pigs. I'm not. By the way, I'm a little bit sick. So flu-like symptoms. So I'm not going to be very good today. That or I'm going to be awesome. I can't decide. Free two potbelly pigs, one pony, $1. Oh, there's no punctuation and no capital at nothing. Free to good home, two male, M-A-I-L, neutered potbelly pigs, almost 1 year old, one black and one white with white spots, 1 16-year. Old gelding pony does ride, but has the heaves, red. In color, no. Other issues, text for more info. I don't think that text message would be able to be big enough to hold all the questions that I have.
And what, regarding, you know what? You could get it in. Just don't put any punctuation or capitalization.
What's amazing is they spelled male wrong, but got neutered done.
I know. I would have had to look up neutered myself.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Aaron sent the following one in. Well, it's mini day here. Mini pony for sale, $100 in Athens. I know. Mini horses aren't ponies. I get it. It's just a title for attention. You'll survive. Located in Athens, Georgia. Adoption fee, $100. Currently, he is living in a pony condo, sandwiched between his friend Jack and Jack's baby mama, Jenny from the block. He seems to get along pretty well with both. From time to time, I found him couch surfing in Jack's apartment and had to move him back to his own. I've also found the idiot in the round bale feeder, but we'll blame that on his unending gluttony. I don't know how to say that with a Southern accent. Christo is professor.
Newsflash. You don't know how to say anything in a Southern accent. Go ahead.
I don't even know what the next couple things mean. He will make you an expert roper in a matter of weeks, and you'll learn a plethora of new swear words to use at Christmas. Your patience will be tested. Your resolve will be challenged. But when you get your hands on the little bastard, a bugger, he's actually not that bad. He accepts a halter and leads and loads and doesn't kick or bite, even when cornered.
Why is he being cornered?
He does have the potential to be a nice little pony for someone other than me. Why is that always the case? He is sound, of course, and could work right away. He needs a new home. He's easy to maintain and doesn't cost me a dime, but I have no time to win him over, and I need my round pen panels back because he's locked up. Delivery available within 100 miles of Athens, Georgia for a reasonable fee.
Oh, my God. Kayla sent in the next one. Arab/quarter horse gelding. Huh?
Not a mini.
No, it's finally not a mini or a pony. $600 in Bend. Okay. This is a teenager. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so, too. Yep.
I'm like sadly having to rehome my amazing baby boy. No fault of his own, as my like living situation doesn't allow me to keep him. So you can't put them in your apartment. Vinny is a 14.2 HH Black Bay gelding. He is a great willing horse who is kind of still in the learning stages. He is okay. He is uncomfortable under saddle due to like trust issues because he was totally cowboyed in his younger years.
He bucked the entire time.
I thought he was in the learning stages. Now he's saying he's old. He's been riding a handful of times, and with work, he will be amazing. He has all his groundwork down and will be able to excel in any direction! Exclamation points for days. Because of how nervous he is, I will not allow any test rides! Exclamation point. Basically, his horse can buck your ass off, so take him and go.
Take him and go. You're not allowed to ride him on my property because I'm not paying your hospital.
I'm paying for it. What is this next monstrosity?
I don't even know how to describe this. Okay, it's our horse trailer of the week. And I'm just going to tell you, Jennifer's going to post this on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning.
What?
You just have to go look at it. I know. It's a
This is
half...
epic, Charlotte. Thank you.
Charlotte sent this one in. Let me just read the ad. Two horse gooseneck trailer, weekend quarters, $3,500. Unique, homemade. You can tell it's homemade. Gooseneck trailer with weekender quarters, sink, water storage, closet, room for queen mattress, tons of storage, two horse straight load, new tires, lights, hooks to generator, floors, paint, reflecting tape, all new, fully roadworthy and ready to haul. Livestock area is good for Pasifino or shorter horse height. Or ideal for ponies, miniature horses, 1 to 2 cows, or multiple goats, sheep, alpacas, llamas, emus, pigs, and dirt bikes. Now, what they did here is imagine a 4-horse trailer that is bumper pull. And imagine they cut the front of the bumper pull 4-horse trailer off. And then they took a gooseneck trailer that was 85 miles long in the tongue. And they took and cut the back off of that, and they welded the two together. And that's exactly what they did here. It's the gooseneck front with a regular horse trailer back, and it's the most bizarre-looking spaceship you've ever seen.
But there's, like, two levels to it. The gooseneck portion is a good 2 feet taller than the horse portion. I'm very confused. It looks like the inside should have a loft.
But the gooseneck part is so long that making turns would be a bitch in this thing. That's all I got to say.
Oh, my God. I don't even understand.
You could back it up.
I don't understand how this would pull. Like, I feel like you would hook it up. You'd drop it down on the tongue. You put chains on. You're like, all right, Sydney, you go ahead and pull on forward. And you pull forward and the thing splits in half.
That's kind of what it looked like.
Jennifer, hey, Bubba, watch this.
This thing was, if you look really closely, there's a little tiny sticker on the corner that says built by Red Green.
Built by Redneck you. Wow.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, this is amazing, Charlotte. Good find. Good find. What would make you click on that? You know what I mean? Like, the only title is 2-horse gooseneck trailer weekend quarters. Like, she must have been clicking on everything. Imagine you're opening this up. You'd be like, what?
One of the tricks I learned on that I didn't know that you could do on Craigslist is just look at the pictures. You can go to the photos and you can look at the photos in all the ads. And that's what I do now when I go to trailers and stuff is I click on photos and you just look at all. She had to do that on this one.
Unbelievable.
And by the way, we're proud to say this is in Florida.
Of course it is.
Jennifer, Lorene sent the next one.
This is Lorene Barden, and I'm going to read a really bad ad. Good horse for sale, $700, Jacksonville, Arkansas. Good horse, well trained, good with other horses, good with the farrier, 2 years old, great with kids. Great with a saddle on her back. She is not broke. Just had the saddle on her back. She is a great horse. Just can't. Do not have enough time to break her to ride. Just message me. So this is a well-trained, unbroke 2-year-old. What is she well-trained to do? I don't know. But for $700, we can find out. Sounds like a fun time. Happy Friday.
Oh my God. That's the best accent ever. Sorry.
I wanted to hear you with your what sounded like a New York accent doing a Southern accent. That would have been fun.
Next one. next one, Lorene.
Thanks, Lorene.
Oh, Betty sent the next one in. She said it was on some Facebook page, but she forgets which one. We call him Spike, .. For sale. One terrible paint gelding. He's 16 years old and sound as a dollar. He doesn't neck rain. He's not kid friendly unless your kid is a professional MMA fighter. Oh, God. He is easy to catch because he's spoiled. He doesn't buck hard or very often. He does trail ride like a decent citizen most of the time. He's not spooky. He has had a rope thrown off him, though he's not really good at anything other than eating. He doesn't take his leads. He doesn't tolerate any BS. That being said, he's gentle enough. He's probably not going to hurt you unless you're looking for a fight. An accomplished horseman can jump on him bareback in a halter and only have a few minor disagreements. If this sounds like an animal you can get along with, shoot me an offer on him. I would prefer he goes to a trail riding home because that's the only thing he's relatively decent at. Oh, I forgot to add, he is registered and he does have decent bloodlines if you care about that kind of thing.
Decent bloodlines.
It's a very honest ad, sort of.
It is. It's very honest.
It kind of tiptoes around the fact that he is a bucker and yeah, he will hurt you.
You're gonna die. Let's see.
Oh my God.
Tara sent this one in. Oh, and it's God. A very short ad. It's for a 2004 Dodge Stratus in Weatherford, Texas for $500.
Oh,
and all
gosh.
It says, this is for a car, it says, runs, drives great. Selling so cheap to get boyfriend out of jail.
Oh.
And they put a picture of the dashboard.
I know, it's just a picture of the dashboard. The rest is demolished. It's like totaled. Because wow. The boyfriend totaled it.
This has to be in a Southern accent, though. It runs and drives great. Sounds so cheap because I could get my boyfriend out of jail. He got arrested last weekend. And see, the problem is he was drinking a little bit too much and he drove home. But he didn't drive drunk, really. He just shouldn't have hit that telephone pole. And then the police came because he knocked down the pole into somebody's house. And they came outside and they was all mad because they lost their power and internet. They didn't have no Wi-Fi. And so they came out, they screaming. So my boyfriend goes and starts screaming at them. And he didn't get arrested for DUI. He got arrested because he hit the guy.
Welcome to Weatherford, Texas.
That's Weatherford, Texas for you, y'all. 9-year-old Mary, actually I have a friend in Weatherford, so I'm going to send her this.
Tammy Trump lives in Weatherford.
Does she really? That's Tammy. 9-year-old Mary, $900.
So we're good.
Yeah, no, it can't be her. Danielle, 9-year-old Mary, $900. I have a 9-year-old Mary for sale. She is broke to lead and ride. She leads and she rides, you guys. Trailers, untrainers, no issue. She's a Tennessee Walker Cross. She is able to be ridden, but she can get a little feisty at times. A more experienced rider would probably be better for her. Previous owners stated that she had an accident in trailer with another horse and the other horse kicked her in the back leg. So now after being ridden, she will develop a limp, but it goes away once she cools down. What? So she's lame.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much.
She does amazing on trail rides, you know, except for the fact that she limps the whole time. I took her on one and we rode on main road, no issues. One of the horse I was riding with kicked her back legs up in her face and she didn't spook or take off because she's lame.
She couldn't go anywhere.
Previous owner said possibly bred, but I'm seeing no signs, but would be due late June into July if true. If you have any more questions, call or text me. Again, the text message isn't long enough for me to ask all the questions that I have regarding this nightmare of a situation.
Oh my God. Only $900, too. All right. Last
chance. Could
one.
Be two for one. Could be. You don't know.
Jennifer, get that first one ready. We'll play that show out with the first one again, Tammy's, the one she read. So we'll play that out after I do this one because I have to hear that again. This one was sent in by Jenny, who sent this one in. And this is a Facebook ad on the Indiana Horses Tack and Trailers for Sale page. Good afternoon. I am looking for around.
Wait.
Yeah.
You missed the best part of the whole ad. Punctuation matters.
Oh, yes, I did. Good afternoon, three commas. I am looking around for a quarter horse gelding, three commas. He needs to be 14 to 14 and a half tall, comma, around 5 to 7 years old. Only one comma, we're learning. Broke to ride. Oh, no. Two commas. Needs to load, comma, to tie to a hitch rail, comma. High line and stand across ties, comma. Stand a saddle and stand a shoe, comma. It sounds like a song. Stand a shoe is a must, comma. I am 71 years old, and I learned to use a lot of commas in elementary school, and I still shoe my own horses, comma. We're pretty tough on ground manners, comma. I'd like to have a good slope on the shoulder and a good wither, comma. He will be the second horse, comma. We haul 3 head, comma.
Those are semicolons.
Oh, no, those are.
Yeah.
What are they? Semicolons. I need new glasses. Semicolon, comma. Because we're just mixing it up. I like a third horse, comma. He will be rode a lot, comma. There's not a period in this entire thing. He will take a break, comma. We rotate horses, comma. He will be taken care of, comma. Good feed and hay, comma. He will have a job to do 6 to 7 months a year, period, comma. We trail ride a lot, comma. No space. I know this sounds like a lot, comma, but really, comma, it being a broke horse, comma, and no glass-eyed horses, comma, thank you, comma.
Oh my.
Oh, I don't even know what you read. I'm still stuck on comma. Good afternoon, comma. I'm looking for a quarter's gelding, comma. They're very specific. Like,
do you think there's a system to when he uses two and three commas and only one?
I don't know, but 71, and at 71, the comma looks an awful lot like a period.
That's true. Or his fingers are shaking and he just can't get it to stop.
Oh, bless his heart. Get him a horse because he still shoes his own horses. So
He does. I have no idea what that is. Well, we'll be back on Monday. You have a terrific weekend, everybody. We'll all be here on Monday. And thank you so much for joining us on Horses in the Morning. You can find all of our past episodes at horsesinthemorning.com. And you get our free app, iOS or Android. You can listen to the show live there. Just hit the live button. Just search for Horse Radio Network. And we have to end the day. Thank you so much, everybody, for sending in your ads. But, Tammy, we're going to play the show out with you today. Let's hear Tammy's once again.
Ready to go. Bye, y'all.
Hi, this is Tammy in Kansas, and this ad caught my eye because this particular person was trying to sell a friendly mini stallion the other day, so here we go. Long story, y'all, but I need your advice. We recently were gifted a group of wonderful animals. We felt very blessed. Then, the mini stallion was being very aggressive to my beloved mini donk, Jenny, and that was a no-go for me. Additionally, we have his filly on site now as well, and we were worried about inbreeding. The previous vet said he'd never, quote-unquote, dropped, but since we have his month-old filly, we know that he can get the job done and don't want him to attempt to breed his own daughter, inbreeding and all, but don't have the ability right now to fence additional acreage to allow for keeping them separately. We deliberated and decided the best course was to rehome him. It gave me massive anxiety and a tummy ache, but I listed him. Last night, I got some new information from a couple of very knowledgeable ladies. They said that he was going after my mini Jenny because she was bred and had a biological imperative
to force her to miscarry so that she would come open again and then he could breed her. Now that we understand what was really going on, we think we just might geld him, and that will be the right answer to all her problems, so we're very encouraged and happy to keep him with us permanently. So my question to you all is, what's the likelihood of getting those belly balls out, and what do you think it should cost us? I'm not above vet shopping to get the most reasonable fee possible. To those of you that read all this way to the end and offer advice, thanks so much. Happy face.
Awesome.
Very large.